church, you may be seated.
Never mind, most of you already are.
Jesus.
So I guess we need to pray for Jeremiah. He's got a procedure tomorrow. So he needs recovery, and probably need to pray for Alicia just as much. But he's going to be fixed. He's going to be better. It'll be awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Lord, Lord, Lord. Jesus paid it all. Opening verse, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Let's pray. Father, that we would cultivate and keep the garden that you've placed us in, the blessing you've given us, the home, the marriage, the friendship, the spiritual connection that you've given us, Lord, let us cultivate it and keep it, that we would help it to grow, to be greater, to be better, Lord. Father, that we could also cultivate Pentecost, Lord. Cultivate an atmosphere where the Spirit is able to move as it sees fit. To cultivate opportunities for those that want or need to be filled with your Spirit, to be filled with your Spirit. Lord, whether it's in church service or whether it's personally at work or just at the coffee shop or anywhere in between, Lord, we would cultivate that Spirit, oh God, that it was intended for all believers, oh Lord. Father, I pray for anointing upon eyes and ears and hearts and minds in this place, that your word would go forth and would fall upon anointed vessels. God, that our worship that we've offered up to you today has done the job of preparing the soil of our spirit for the seed of your word. That it would grow and in due season produce a powerful harvest. Oh Lord, this world needs a spirit-led, spirit-filled church to minister to the needs of its people. God, help me to be able to deliver this word, Lord. Give me your anointing to speak it, Lord. But not to speak my words, but to speak yours, oh God. Oh Father, fill my mouth with your words and my spirit with your spirit. Lord, I thank you. And in Jesus' name I pray. Say amen and amen. Jesus. So as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, we may or may not always look like it or sound like it or feel like it, but we are a Pentecostal church. I remember having coffee with a pastor friend recently, and someone who I have the utmost respect for, leads a very big Assembly of God church, and he said, sometimes my church feels more Methodist than it does Pentecostal. And there's been Sundays I've thought, well, we're sometimes pretty close to that. But that's partly because I remember Hosanna. I remember all of the things from when we started coming to Hosanna. And as a non-Pentecostal at that time, whew, Lord, man, the things that I remember. But I grew and learned and studied and realized that there was more to it, and that God was in it, and that it was for me. Oh, Lord. So as we continue in our series that we've started called Garden Tips, today, as we talked about cultivating last week, we're going to talk about cultivating Pentecost. As I believe very much so that we need to cultivate Pentecost. And as a reminder, I want to remind you that to cultivate means to foster the growth of. I think the church is partly responsible for fostering the growth of not Pentecost, but of the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That we are in part responsible for the growth of it. That we are to teach, to lead, to guide in spiritual ways, through spiritual things, through spiritual ideas, that we need to train the people in the Spirit and of the Spirit. That it needs to be such a part of our daily lives, of our worship services, that we are not shocked or surprised when something happens that is Spirit-filled or Spirit-led. That I truly believe, and will forever, I think, believe, that it is a part of worshiping a supernatural God. And any time, like I had a conversation with someone just this week, who said something about they had a family member who's going to a holiness church, and they didn't know I pastored an Assembly of God church or a Pentecostal church, and they were like, with the speaking in tongues and all that crazy stuff, right? And I thought, oh Lord, open the door, because I'm going to see this person again. I'll open the door. Because honestly, the first church, the churches that I grew up in were not Spirit-filled churches. And you can ask Tammy, when we first started talking about marriage and getting to know her family, they were a bunch of crazy Pentecostal people, and I was terrified of some of them. Like, I was scared of some of them, because they were crazy. I remember her aunt at a funeral one time, just speaking in tongues and bouncing up and down. And I just remember going, oh, Lord, I don't know what is happening here. Right? And she's dating this guy who did not know or understand the idea of being Spirit-filled, and I'll never forget watching him. He's holding on to her, trying to get her to calm down, and he's just like, it was hilarious. It was so funny. But I know that when we walked in the doors here, as hesitant as I was about entering into a Pentecostal church, it just felt like home. Can I tell you, would you believe me if I told you that I think worship in heaven is probably going to be a little Pentecostal? Can I tell you that worship in the midst of God is going to be a little different than some of us have expected? I remember, and I tell people, I told this lady I was talking to, I said, you know, the only churches I went to when I was a kid were Baptist and Nazarene churches. And so when I was an adult and Tammy and I started looking for a church, like, we started going to this little Baptist church, and they're good people. Good people. But church was dry, dull, boring. That's what I thought church was. Right? You sang your little hymns and heard your little sermon and went to lunch and bless you and all those things. And then, man, when I got to Hosanna, you just never knew. You never knew what was going to happen. You never knew who was going to give a message in tongues or an interpretation. You never knew what to expect. It made church exciting at times. I'm not going to ask that question. I want you to know it's okay if church is exciting. I'm not going to ask your permission to allow church to be exciting. We need to get a little bit excited, guys. I mean, to be honest with you, I need some excitement in my church. I do. I'll never forget watching somebody run around the church, right? Were they crazy? Maybe a little bit, but there was some Spirit-filled things happening too, right? I just remember. I want to help cultivate that back in the church. I want to help foster that. Some of that's going to be on me. Some of it's going to be me leading and me teaching. So some of that's going to be on me. But some of it's going to be on all of us to be open, to stop being hesitant. This isn't my notes at all. Lord Jesus, we're just going Spirit-filled. We're just going Spirit-filled right here. To stop being hesitant about when the Lord speaks something in your heart, to say it out of your mouth. Are you always going to get it perfect? No. Not always. But you know, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to do its job, to give us the words that we need to speak when we need to speak it. To allow ourselves to break loose a little bit. Stop holding back. I've been there. I've held back at times. I've held back at times as pastor because I thought, man, these people will think I'm crazy if I do this. I remember, not at this church, but at another church, the Spirit moving on me, and in the service, I remember I had been reading, and I found this place where it talked about a war cry. And in the service, I had them turn my mic off because I knew I was going to bust somebody's eardrums if I had the mic on and did it. But I just said, there's some of us that are at war. And man, I gave a scream, a shout of a war cry. I didn't plan on doing that. But I did it. Nobody walked out either. It's crazy. We've got to stop being hesitant. And I've been there. I've been in services where somebody I knew that came into the church and the Spirit started moving and I went, oh Lord, not today. They're going to walk out. They're going to run out. And I'll be honest, I've seen them do it. I've seen them walk right out the door. Those people are crazy. You know what? I pray that person found a place or a way that they understood that what was happening was not crazy. It's crazy, but it's not crazy. I need a Pentecostal church again. I think this world needs a Pentecostal church. Needs more of us that are filled with His Spirit. That it's not just for those days. It's for today too. And that we have to be willing, ready, and able to be seen as a little crazy. If they know you go to a Pentecostal church, they already think you're crazy. You don't have to hold back. Like this lady I was talking to this week, after I told her I pastored a Pentecostal Assembly God church, Pentecostal church, she's a little bit hesitant to say some things after that. I just pray I'm going to see this person again, a few times probably. I pray God opens the door for me to say, you know what? I believe a supernatural God is going to cause sometimes supernatural worship. And sometimes He's going to give us a supernatural language that He speaks that I don't speak. But I start speaking it, but it's His language, not mine. You heard me today. I don't know what I said. I trust that I didn't say anything real bad. I don't have a clue. But I've read and I've studied this moment. There was a great teaching, which I'm going to try to find online and share on our Facebook page. I sat through some really good, solid, Spirit-filled teaching at District Council. It wasn't jump up and down shouting stuff, but it was true, good, spiritual teaching. And I'm going to try to find it, and I'm going to try to share it, because it's something we should all hear. We should all listen to. I can't be the only one to help cultivate it. You if you were here last week, you heard me talk about my dad's garden, my grandma's garden, and then the big garden that we all worked in that just felt like 100 acres. No, I know it wasn't, but it felt like that as a kid. We couldn't grow all of that. My dad couldn't do it all. My stepmom couldn't do it all. My grandma couldn't do it all. So we all worked together to cultivate that garden. What if we all worked together to cultivate? What if we all did our part? Sometimes what it's going to take for the Spirit to break out in service is for one person to be willing to step out to say, okay, I feel the Lord saying this. I hear Him speaking this. Oh, it's scary, though. That's a scary moment. It's that Peter about to step out of the boat moment, right? I know I'm supposed to. But man, I've never felt waves tickling the bottom of my feet. Lord, I know I'm going to try. And I believe You're calling me to say this, Lord. But I got to step out of the boat. Sometimes I've been guilty. I've been guilty of not saying something because I was too afraid to step out of the boat. What if I got it wrong? Can I tell you, what if you got it right? What if you got it right? Oh, man, what could happen if you got it right? If you get it wrong, I've been in service when somebody got it wrong. You know what happened? Nothing. Like nothing. It's like, oh, that was weird. We just moved on. But if they got it right, people are at the altar. Lives are changed. People are transformed. And there's praise, there's worship, there's spirit-led, spirit-filled things happening. I don't even know why I still got my notes up. I'm just going with it. But like I want to cultivate Pentecost so bad. I want to see it happen so badly. Because I just believe that this city needs us. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. The campus needs us, and they don't have a clue. And it's not, we're not going to wait till we have a new building to cultivate Pentecost. Come on. We're not going to wait for that to happen to cultivate Pentecost. I'm tired. Can I, I'm just going to tell you, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of waiting. I'm willing to wait. I'm not mad. The Lord and I aren't at odds, but I'm tired of waiting for this to happen to do this. We got to do it whether other things are happening or not. We're going to do spiritual things. We're going to do spirit-led things. We're going to anoint the ground before they start pouring concrete. We're going to anoint the ground. I'm going to find Tammy and I have been talking about this for probably a year. I'm going to find a Bible, and we're going to bury the Bible in the foundation because we are built on the Word of God. We're going to do things. You've heard me talk about the columns where we're going to honor Pastor Hawkins and Sister Robin and Sister Lita. We're going to do all these things because we are going to be led by God's Spirit. And we're going to be built on His Word. I promise you it's not the coffee and it's not the energy drink. I just know that so desperately. This has been echoing in my heart all week. What you're getting is the overflow. I am getting desperate to see His Spirit poured out. And I think that desperation is where we need to be for God to move the way He's going to move. But I can't be the only one desperate. I can't be the only one seeking it. I can't be the only one wanting it. If I'm the only one, man, I'm just going to have my own little praise party, I guess. And y'all can just watch me burn. That's fine. But I'd rather you got closer to the fire. I want Pentecost to become extraordinarily ordinary. Where it's just, where you tell people, come to Hosanna. But no, when you come to Hosanna, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be two songs, announcements, three songs, and sermon. It might be two songs, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, who knows what's going to happen, might get to announcements, might not, might sing three more songs, might sing one more song, the Spirit might move, we might, the pastor may pass out, but there ain't no telling what's going to happen. No telling. I will forever in my mind, and Barney will remember this, Tammy will remember this, Debbie Willis, right here, about the second row back, her and Terry Willis right next to each other, probably two songs in, she gone. She take out three rows. I'm not joking. She would just fall straight back in worship. Take out three rows. That's a fact. She had her own section. Because she was going to be in your lap if you sat behind her. It was just what was going to happen. And the first time, some of us went, is she okay? The second time, we went, that's Debbie. This is Debbie. She all right? I'll never forget those moments. Lord Jesus. Luke 24:49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Before Jesus ascended, he gave those instructions to the disciples. He didn't give them a great dissertation. He didn't give them a great sermon of what exactly Pentecost was going to look like. He didn't say, there's going to be a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and there's going to be what appears cloven tongues of fire, and you're all going to start talking crazy. He didn't tell them all that. Some of them wouldn't have believed him. What do you mean we're going to talk crazy? We're going to speak another language. I don't know another language, Lord. Well, you will that day. But how? Some of us are, but how, Lord? But how? I'm trying really hard not to be, but how? We're going to build a new building. Okay, but we got some of the money. We need the rest of the money, Lord. But how? How? But how is it going to happen? I don't know. It's going to happen by his Spirit, by his power. I don't know otherwise. I got to just trust him. He didn't give them all that information because they would have had too many other questions. Like Tammy and I spent the last 2 days having Trenton in our house. I have not been asked why or how more in a long time. Why? 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 It's okay. He's curious. He's young. Some of us are still curious. Praise God for that. But he knew the disciples would start hammering him with all these how and why questions. Because they need to know. Some of us need to know the 12 steps that we're going to take to get to that place. I probably should have not said 12 steps. That's a whole different program. He didn't give them all that information. He was just saying, you just need to act on faith. It's going to happen. And if you have a picture in your mind of what it's going to look like, it's probably not going to happen. I'm going to be really honest with you. Some of you heard my testimony about how I got filled with the Spirit. I will never, ever, ever forget Bob Sullivan. Bob and Gertrude. I'll never forget Bob and Gertrude. Gertrude was amazing. Gertrude was at Southwestern Assemblies of God with Jerry Lee Lewis. That's a fact. She talked about him getting kicked out of chapel service because of his piano playing. Bob was Pentecostal as they come, man. Elderly man, retired. Man, they service one night. Do you want to come? Do you want to be filled with the Spirit? I come forward. Another young man standing in front of me came forward. And Bob puts his hand here and a hand here, and he starts moving me. Just like the old Pentecost used to do, just like they're trying to shake it out of me or something. I just got mad. That's it. I just got madder and madder. The more he moved me, the madder I got. Just started in my toes, and by the time it's over with, I'm just heated. So much so, I had to just focus on the young man in front of me and just pray for him. He got filled with the Spirit that night. I got filled with the Spirit weeks later, months later, in my work truck, in prayer. God had to change my expectations. He had to do it in a way that I did not expect it, in a place I would have never thought it would happen, because I had certain expectations. I just want you guys, I want you to know, remove your expectations of how the Spirit will come upon you. Jesus didn't explain it. I'm not going to explain it. I can't explain it. How do I explain to you that suddenly I'm in prayer and my prayer goes from thank you, Lord, to like, I don't know how to explain that to you. Because I didn't understand it. It took me a minute. I said, oh, Lord, what was that? And I started praying again, and it happened again. Yeah. Amen. I can't explain it to you. But I'm just telling you, if you will get rid of those expectations, the disciples did not know what to expect other than God was going to do something. He didn't tell them when. He didn't tell them it was going to happen on Pentecost. He just said, go wait. Go wait. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. We used to do a thing, I've heard, we used to do this thing in Pentecostal churches where we would tarry at the altar until something happened. Where we would be there until. Just wait. Stay in the city until you're clothed with power. Until it happens. I'll be really honest with you. I was praying for an elderly woman that I know who has been wanting to get filled with the Spirit pretty much her entire life. And I prayed Pentecost Sunday. And it would just happen for her. She's in her 80s. No telling how much time she's got left. I would love for her to be filled. Oh, would love for her to experience that. I already have. You pray for it. Joanne. She'd get mad at me if you heard me call her that, but that's her name. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Yeah. I tell you why my heart's so fond of her. When Tammy and I took over as pastors of the church in Perkins, I was warned about her. You got to watch her. She'll get you. I'm not joking. That's what I was told. You got to be careful. Watch out for her. She'll get you. Psst. You know what makes me mad? Somebody thought she was going to get me. Somebody thought that's who she was. Who she is someone who loves her church. Someone who wants to see the best for her church. I used to go to her at our prayer times, and I would say, okay, Sissy, we need to talk. Whole family, everybody calls her Aunt Sissy. I would say, Aunt Sissy, we got to talk. I'm going to do this, okay? I want to do this. Now, I know you're not going to like it, because it's going to be something different than what you're used to. And I would say, I thought about doing this. I thought about doing this. I thought about doing this. I'd give her all the reasons I didn't like all that. And I would say, if you have a better idea, you say so. And almost without fail, Sissy would say, you know, right, you're right. I don't like it. But I understand what you're doing. And you're not going to get anything out of me. I'm not going to fight you on that. I'm not going to cause a problem. She just needed somebody who loved her enough to include her in the church that she loves so much. Oh, it still makes me mad to think somebody said, watch her. Yeah, I watch God use her. Watch her bless her church. Oh, Lord. She was the one the maddest at us when we left. still loved us, but mad at us. Probably still a little mad today. Getting filled with the Spirit is an act of faith. It took faith for the disciples to go back to the city and to wait. It took faith for them to just believe that God was going to do something that they didn't even know what it was going to look like. And it still takes faith for us today to receive it. It takes faith because the Bible says that the verse that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Right? That we play a part in it. He might give you the words, he might give you the language, but you got to speak it. You're the one that has to open your mouth. Or it's just going to be echoing in your heart and in your mind. And it's not going to go forth and do what it was called to do, what it was meant to do. Right? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We have to do our part. And that's an act of faith. Because there are very few things more terrifying than feeling like you've got to say something that you don't understand. Something that you don't know what. Let me just use an example. Again, John Edwards, evangelist from Wales that used to come to Stillwater. And he talked about being him and his wife, whose name I just blanked on, Diane, thank you, having the opportunity to speak to this well-known pop star at the time. I think it was in the UK or something. And so they meet with her, and they're praying with her. And he said, Diane says, all of a sudden, in their prayer, say no to man, say no to man, say no to man. And John said, I'm sitting here with this lady who has, I don't even know how much money, who has come to us and looking to us, and my wife says, say no to man, say no to man. Like, really? Just appalled. Just like, oh, Lord, what has she done? And he said that tears just began to come because this lady had been offered a great sum of money to participate in this activity. And she was struggling with it because she didn't think it was a good thing for her to do spiritually. And so for Diane to speak those words in that moment changed everything. It meant everything. But John's over there going, Lord, could it not have been something more spiritual than say no to man? But for her in that moment, it was exactly what she needed. I'm telling you, it's sometimes scary, borderline terrifying to just speak it out. To cultivate it, to promote the growth of it, you got to use it. You've got to speak it out. You've got to go forth with it. You have to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You got to just let it go. Let it out. It's not going to be cultivated inside. It's cultivated by getting its breath, by getting it out of you. That's when it's allowed to grow. That's when it grows, you grow, the person it's for will grow. It's cultivating. We have got to become cultivators. Acts 1:14. I believe that there are three things that cultivate the Spirit. And I'm going to try to get through them quickly because we're getting close. If you have to leave, bless you, love you, hopefully see you next week. Three things. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These, all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. One of the first things that helps to cultivate the Spirit, helps to cultivate Pentecost, is unity. If we are the more unified we are, the more the Spirit has the ability, the opportunity to move and to be used and to happen. The more unified we are. The closer knit we are together, the less likely all of us are to look at whoever speaks, whether it's a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, tongues, interpretation, prophecy, whatever it is, whatever that gift is that operates on that day. The more unified we are, the less likely we are to look at that person and go, well, that's just Sister so-and-so. Well, that's just Brother so-and-so. The more unified we are, the closer knit we are together, the more opportunity, the stronger opportunity there is. Even Jesus himself said that a house divided against itself will not stand. The church has to be unified. We've got to be unified. It is essential for the move of the Spirit for us to be unified. We have all got to be pulling in the same direction toward the same goal. That is being closer to the Lord and more the church he has called us to be. The detail of unity probably seems like a minor thing. But it was important enough for Luke to include it. And it makes me believe that had they not been united, that maybe all of them wouldn't have been there and they wouldn't have all gotten filled. It would have been this person, this person, this person. It's going to skip Peter. Got to skip Peter, right? It's going to skip this lady, that lady, this one, because they weren't unified. May have taken them more than the 50 days it had taken. Might still be seeking it if they weren't unified. The second thing that's mentioned in that verse is prayer. They were all united, but they were also praying. I know prayer is one of those things, like your church, you can talk about prayer. But you can never underestimate the power of prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. It is essential. It is a major part of our relationship with God. But it is, I'm going to be honest, it's underutilized. It's underemphasized. I've had an idea in my mind, a couple of ideas in my mind. And in my heart about a week-long prayer revival where for a week, every night at the church, we met for a time of prayer. Just a revival of prayer. What could happen in a week if we set aside a little time every night for a week to come together and pray? What could happen? Who knows, right? Healings, outpouring. Can I be honest with you? Is it okay if pastor's honest with you? You know what stops me? You know what makes me hesitate? I don't want to be here alone for a prayer revival. Don't misunderstand me. I believe in the power of prayer. We said it, somebody, maybe Tammy said it at the beginning of service, because when we first started service, there were three, okay? Tammy said, well, two or more gathered, right? I believe that. I believe that. But where three or more are gathered, and where four or more are gathered, and when five or more are gathered, when we are united together, pulling in the same direction in prayer. What if we all prayed the same prayer together? There's a verse, and it just the Spirit just brought it to my mind. If a thousand to flight and. Oh, it's Robert, you got it? If one could put 1,000 to flight. Yeah, I don't care about it's in there. But you know what? You know the verse I'm talking about. What if we all started throwing those prayers together, united towards God? Oh, Lord, what could happen? Oh, Jesus, what if the church, what if we became a house of prayer? I'm not talking about IHOP KC, I'm not talking about, but what if we became a house of prayer? We've got we have a room in the new building that's not designated for anything. It's just like a classroom. And we'll probably use it for kids at first. But once we're able to use this for kids and youth, I'd love to make that room just like a prayer room. Just a room that we could, that some of us, we could gather together. I'd love to have that room full of people, like when God moves and God does what he's going to do by faith in the new building, that we have people that during service, while we're in here having service, we got people in that room praying over the service. Oh, Lord, what could happen? What could happen? What could break loose? Oh, Jesus, revival could happen. Yes, I use that word. If you study Acts, you will quickly see that prayer is a factor in the infilling, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every single time. It could easily be said that prayer cultivates the Holy Spirit. And it does promote the growth, not only of the Spirit, but also of the believer. It promotes the growth of faith, promotes the growth of trust, it promotes the growth of your relationship with the Lord. The last thing that I see in this moment of Acts chapter 2 that I think is, I've kind of already said some of it, but something that I believe also cultivates Pentecost. Acts 2:14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice, declared to them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my word." Teaching is essential to the cultivation of Pentecost. Because Peter took this moment where this crazy thing had happened. And if you read all of Acts chapter 2, you see that after it happened, that there were some there that said, "Look at the drunks." And Peter stands up, it takes that moment and says, "Oh no, that's not what this is." And he quotes them out of the book of Joel, and he starts to give them one of Peter's very first sermon. It was definitely the very first sermon of the new Peter. Because if you study Peter and you study him, you see that he was kind of a stumbling guy. Always let his mouth go before his brain was in action. "Oh Lord, I would never deny you," right? "Oh Lord, tell me to come out on the water and I'll come to you." Always just speaking before he thought through. Some of you know those people. Some of you might be those people. It's fine, it happens. But then all of a sudden in Acts 2:14, we see Peter stand up and start. After he was filled with the Spirit, he starts to give this message and try to help to understand and people relate and realize what was really happening there. Teaching is essential for the cultivation of the Holy Spirit in the church. We have got to teach about these things. Like there are things that our young people today don't even know that they're a problem or that they would be considered a sin. Because as the church, we don't teach on it. We just don't. We're afraid we're going to offend somebody, hurt somebody's feeling. They won't come back. Can we stop? It's on me. in part. But Peter stands up after experiencing what he just experienced and gives us this sermon. Something significant had happened to Peter. He had experienced that power that was given him when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Acts 2:41 says, "So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls." Oh Lord, we couldn't hold 3,000 in the building. We'd have to have 14 services every weekend, and I don't have 14 in me. I'm just going to tell you. Robert would have to preach 8 or 10 of them. I'd have to preach a few. We'd have to take turns. I'd do it. It'd be worth it. It'd be awesome. Robert have to quit his job. I'd have to quit my job. We'd have to explain to our wives, you know. A lot of things would have to happen. Some of y'all would be preaching messages. Oh, that's terrifying. Some of y'all got messages in you. Some of you have messages in you. I'm calling it out now. Yeah. Liz just said no. Tell the Lord your plans. Go ahead, in front of everybody. Tell the Lord your plans. Tell the Lord no. Uh-huh. Come on. Oh, yes, he does. The result of the cultivation of Pentecost was a harvest. A harvest. 3,000 added that day. 3,000 added in one day because the Spirit was cultivated. If we want to see growth, spiritual growth, we have to cultivate the Spirit. So, I'm going to end this in a way that's going to give you an opportunity. Some of y'all would be too shy to come forward. Some of you would say, "Pastor, don't put your hands on me." What if we just stood united and said, "Lord, fill us with your Spirit. If you're willing to live a little dangerous today, because who knows? As we pray together, united as his church, saying, "Oh God, fill me. Oh God, let us cultivate Pentecost. Let us cultivate the move of your Spirit in this place, oh God. God, that we would do our part, Lord, united together, Lord, that we are lifting up our voices for one goal, for one purpose, Lord. That we would see Pentecost. Lord, that we would see every member of this church, every attendee of this church be filled with your Spirit, Lord. That they would be open to it. That they would receive it, oh God. That you would pour it out as if we were in the last days, oh God. And that we would have dreams and visions. And we would have, God, messages and tongues and interpretations, oh God, and prophecies, God, and words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and all of your giftings would be in operation in this church. And that it would be a warming light to those around, oh God. Lord, would you remove my expectations? Would you remove all of our expectations of what that looks like? That we would be open to you doing whatever it is you want to do, however it is you want to do it. That God, as pastor, I will teach more on your Spirit. That as your people, we will pray for a move, an infilling, an outpouring of your Spirit, oh God. Oh Lord, that we will be united in purpose and in vision to see your Spirit move in this place, in our lives. Oh God, that our young ones, even in the nursery, could be filled with your Spirit, oh God. Our young ones that are not here today, our teenagers, oh Lord, that they could be filled with your Spirit, oh God. Our new believers, Lord, our young ones, that young adults who are still trying to figure it out, God, still trying to get committed, still trying to get devoted, still trying to get where it's a normal part of their life, God. Our families, Lord, that are struggling, God, that you would outpour it out upon them, oh God. Oh, Father. This week is another week of youth camp, God. Pour out your Spirit on youth camp, oh God. Let Sparks, Oklahoma, be filled with your Spirit. Camp Cargo, be filled with your Spirit this week, oh God. Oh, Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you, God, that we're willing to wait until it happens for us, oh God. But while we're waiting, we'll pray. Pray for ourselves. Pray for one another, oh God. Pour it out on Sissy, oh God. Pour it out on Joy. Oh, Jesus. Pour it out on her, oh God. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I be bold enough to ask you, those of you that are filled with the Spirit, those of you that have your prayer language already, could we pray in the Spirit together? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Yeshua. Oh, Oh, my God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're filling us right now, oh, God. Oh, Lord, by faith, you're filling us, Lord, to the overflow right now. Oh, God, that we will be changed. We will be new, God. We will be filled with your Spirit, Lord. Oh, Lord, renew that filling of the Spirit, God, within us. Oh, Lord, that we would be bold enough to speak it. We would be bold enough to say it, oh, God. Oh, Jesus, that you would just flow. That you would just flow out of our mouths from the infilling, from the overflow of our heart, God. Your Spirit, Lord, would be spoken forth. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, my God, I thank you. Oh, my God, I thank you. Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord, could today be the start of the cultivation of your Spirit in Hosanna Church once again? That we would promote the growth of your Spirit in this place. We would do our part, Lord, through prayer, through dedication, through teaching, through unity, God, that we would see your Spirit poured out upon this place, and you will become extraordinarily ordinary in our lives. Oh God, we pray for Jeremiah for tomorrow's procedure, Lord. We pray that you continue to bring forth, God, all that we need. Lord, that as a church, we will come together once the permit is filled out, and we will pray over the permit before we hand it over to the city. And we trust you, God, that you have your hand upon this. Father, as we leave here, move in our hearts, continue to echo this word in our heart. For the harvest is ripe and ready, God. Help us to cultivate it.